The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. This is a little bit of an emergency edition of the show, as we're here to discuss the Giants' decision on Friday morning to part ways with veteran cornerback Janoris Jenkins. And here to help me break that all down, react to all of that, is good friend Patricia Traina. Patty, it's always something, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what, Ed? This has been a really exhausting season. You know, when I said to somebody earlier in the week, I said there was very little talk about the next opponent. There's been very little talk about the upcoming game. It always seems to be something, some sort of drama. And when you reach that point, that's when, you know, things have really gone south.
Yes, you do. And, you know, Patty, I had a feeling that this was coming on. You know, we saw this whole thing erupt on Wednesday, I think it was, with Jenkins, with the tweeting from the locker room, with the use of the word retard in that tweet. And yesterday with, you know, I wasn't there yesterday, but I saw some of the video. And he just obviously didn't get it. He didn't get, you know, why that would be considered offensive to some people. So I'm not surprised at all that this happened today. How about you?
I had a feeling that it was going to happen. I didn't think it would happen this quickly because of the ankle injury, because it is a wave ankle injury type of situation. So it's a, but with that said, I did not think Janoris Jenkins had a future with this team. Now, or if you had asked me at the beginning of the season, might they keep him given how the young cornerbacks were struggling? I said, well, there might be a chance, but you know, we saw the dissatisfaction with how he was being used on defense. And then to add this to the mix, it was obvious that Jenkins wanted out and that the Giants had no choice but to send him packing. And now he got his wish. And, you know, you saw the tweets from him this morning just before the announcement came, how it was the best news and how he was happy and y'all got what you wanted because you're all haters or whatever exactly he said. So, no, this is not a surprise to me. And, you know, it's unfortunate is what it is.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, Patty. And now look, I think if you remember back a couple of years ago with Jenkins and the run-ins that he had with Ben McAdoo, you know, not showing up after the bye week and nobody knew where he was, which led to him being suspended and then having his effort questioned, you know, in some instances down toward the end of the season. I'm the first one to admit, when it comes to Janoris Jenkins, I'm not objective, because I called for him to be cut from the Giants 2 years ago. I've been surprised that through this whole changeover with Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur, I've been surprised that he is the veteran player who has lasted and survived. I mean, be honest with me, you know, with all that's gone down with him, have you been surprised as I have, you know, that he's the guy who until today was still there?
I am, Ed. I mean, I know why they kept him. They had a lot of young guys, and they were hoping that, you know, Jenkins might, I guess, be distracted in a good way by showing these young pups how to do the job and how to, you know, learn and study and everything like that. I think that might have been part of their thinking, but I am surprised because Jenkins has had a history where when things have gone south, he has acted up in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, if you had said to me at the start who of Damon Harrison, Jenkins, and Olivier Vernon would have lasted, I would have said probably, you know, Vernon, because Vernon was always the, you know, the most quiet of the bunch. I would have put Jenkins as the first to go, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I am surprised that he lasted as long as he had.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, as much as, you know, we can debate the social ramifications of the use of the word that he used and all of that. But for me, you know, from the football sense, I always thought it was the Giants kind of tried to prop Jenkins up as the leader of this group. I always thought that was sort of an odd choice. Maybe it was just what they had to do. And for me, this is just as much about, you know, removing a guy who might lead some of their young corners, their young defensive backs, you know, down the wrong path, especially since this whole thing happened during a practice session when he wasn't supposed to be on social media to begin with. And, you know, to me, that's a really egregious part of this as well. It's not just the word that he used. And I think a lot of it for me is about making sure these young players get the right message.
Well, Ed, let me clarify that because I've seen you mention that several times, and Jenkins did explain what happened with the timing of the tweet. Apparently, he wrote the tweet in an area of the building when I guess maybe he was in the trainer's room. I believe he said he was in the trainer's room, and the reception back there was not very good. So when he came out of the trainer's room and into the locker room, he put his phone on a charger, and that's when the tweet went out. So the timing, I didn't have so much of a problem with the timing. I mean, quite frankly, though, if it were up to me, I would tell all the players, don't tweet while you're in the building. But the timing isn't as big of an issue. The issue here is he could have just said to the person, look, I'm doing my job, and left off the word. You know, he didn't have to add that little dig at the person. So that's the whole thing. And then I think he compounded that by the shallow apology and just really, you know, he sat there apologizing, but you never got the impression that he understood why he was apologizing. And that's probably what was most disturbing, is that after having the talk with Pat Shurmur about why it wasn't appropriate to use that language, he still didn't get it. And the Giants at that point, you know, look, they've had a lot of bad publicity because of how the season has turned out. And at that point, they basically said, you know what? We're moving on from this guy anyway. We might as well do it now.
Yeah, Patty, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, I think you're right. I don't think Jenkins would have been a Giant next year anyway. Just looking ahead to the offseason, I know you told me off air that you double checked these numbers. Just tell us a little bit about the cap ramifications of this move. I don't think doing it now changes the numbers at all or changes them all that dramatically. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. Basically, the Giants, they are going to save, I want to say, $11.25 million. On the 2020 cap. Now, Jenkins was in the final year of his contract in 2020. The base salary would have been $10.15 million, and then he had a roster bonus of $1 million and a workout bonus of $100,000. So really, this gets treated like a post-June 1st transaction, which means that the remaining $3.5 million on his prorated signing bonus will accelerate into the 2020 cap. So it wouldn't have really mattered when they cut him because he was in the final year of his deal. But if, for example, he had 2 years left, then it would have mattered because next year there is no post-June 1st designation. Any players that are cut, their signing bonus is going to, or their prorated signing bonus is going to accelerate into 2020. That because it is the final year of the current CBA.
All right, Patty, final question really about this as we do a pretty quick show just to make sure that we react to this, to the Janoris Jenkins news. Pat Shurmur referred to this as an organizational decision. You know, he had said on Thursday that he had spoken to Jenkins, that he told Jenkins it was inappropriate, you know, all of those things. But I'm just wondering, when Shurmur says organizational decision, I don't read anything into this as far as the futures of Shurmur and Dave Gettleman. And I think, I mean, for anyone to do that, is that sort of a bridge too far to try to read into the futures of the coach and the GM?
Yeah, I think it is, Ed. I mean, I don't think it really has anything to do with their futures. I think in the case of Pat Shurmur, I have a really, really hard time seeing any way they can bring him back after everything that has happened and hasn't happened. Gettleman, I do think he gets another year, you know, because I think it's, even though the results haven't been there, you have to just kind of see, you know, give him another year to put, you know, add more draft picks to make some tweaks to that roster. But, you know, here's a scary thing, Ed. Sterling Shepard is now the longest tenured player on the roster, if you take away Eli Manning and Zach Diassi, who both won't be here next year. I mean, think about it. Sterling Shepard came in 2016. That's how much turnover this roster has had. And I often make this comparison because I think it's true. Given the turnover this team has had, it's almost like an expansion team, right? Because there's been really no stability on the roster because, you know, you have a coach and a GM who have wanted to bring in their own guys. And when the coach doesn't, you know, get the most out of what he's got, it just sets you back. Gettleman's going to get another year. I would be stunned if he doesn't. But Shurmur, I think the time has run out on him.
Yeah, I think you and I agree on the on Shurmur. I'm still, you know, and I also agree to an extent when it comes to Dave, when it comes to his future. I think that if you're going to argue that there are players that have been brought into the roster who aren't being maximized, then I think you have to give him another year to continue, you know, to try to build this and bring in another coach. I mean, with that said, there's always, for me, the reputation that Dave has, and the thing that I can't put my finger on is whether there are coaching candidates out there that the Giants might want who, you know, for lack of another way to say this, who actually wouldn't work with Dave.
That remains to be seen. I mean, look, the Giants have had a structure in place since the days of George Young, where the GM has the final say on personnel decisions. The coach has a heavy say, but I don't think the coach necessarily has the final say. At least in my research, that's how what I've come away with. So, yeah, nowadays you have a lot of coaches who come in and say, look, I want to run the team with my guys, and I don't want to have to really answer to someone. But see, here's the problem you face. Now you get somebody who's doing the GM role, and it's just too much. I mean, very few guys can do it successfully. Bill Belichick is a great example of who has done it successfully. But, you know, otherwise you look around the league, you have a good GM and head coach combination on some of these more successful teams. You know, down in Baltimore, for example, out in San Francisco, out in Seattle. So I don't see the Giants, you know, to get an ideal coach like a Jim, like a Harbaugh, for example. I don't see them saying, okay, here are the keys to the kingdom. Do whatever you want. I just don't see that. I think they're going to have to get a coach who is on the same page with Gettleman. And you know, here's the other concern, though, I have about that is that we don't know how much longer Dave Gettleman is going to be in his post. We would like to think that the next head coach is going to be around for a number of years. So what happens if when Gettleman does retire or leaves for whatever reason, now are we back to this whole piecemeal thing? That's why this whole scenario, this whole setup just doesn't make sense. But, you know, unfortunately, this is what I think the Giants are going to do.
Messy times with the Giants, Patty. Messy times. The Janoris Jenkins news, the big news of the day. Giants fans, as always, we thank you for listening. Patty, I thank you for joining us. And Patty, I will see you on Sunday when there's actually a game to talk about.
Exactly. We'll see you then.
All right. Thank you, Giants fans. Bye-bye now.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.